tried to remember, of course, everybody kind of sits in the same spot, you know. We had the same expectations, right? Who's in my pew today? We hope, okay, that nobody's sitting in my spot. Just. But I encourage you this week to go through your mind where everybody sits and pray for them. And think about something positive that they bring to your life. Whether it's, I like my hair color, okay? Or whether they're always polite and courteous, or they're always complimentary, or whatever it is, folks. We can find good to be thankful for. This getting close to the Thanksgiving time of the year in our country. Us being soldiers in Christ, we're thankful today is Veterans Day of our country, and the acknowledgement of God's blessings on our country through our servicemen and women that have served. We are forever thankful for you that have served and appreciate that. But us being soldiers of Christ, are you a veteran of the Army? Are you expecting to be a servant of the Most High God, to be a soldier for Jesus, for the kingdom of heaven? The title of our lesson this morning is Expectation and Hope, and obviously it comes from our passage. I guess it could be our theme, so to speak, of our lesson, but it's more grabbing some words that we typically don't utilize in our faith. Hope, yes, but I asked this morning, how many of us got up this morning and prayed for expectations and hope of this day? For whatever it is. Did you expect to be blessed today? Or did you expect to be a blessing? Did you hope for a good day? Okay. If you hope for a 70-degree day. Folks, sometimes in our lives, that's what we do with God, though. We hope for a 70-degree day when we look at the forecast and we know exactly what's going to happen. Expectation and hope. Very unique how it goes in here. And if we look at our passage this morning, it says, expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Don, I expect myself this day to be a child of the Most High God and represent the kingdom of heaven. And that's not a special calling. That's just a calling each and every one of us have as brothers and sisters in Christ. As somebody followed Jesus, somebody daily picking up our cross and following him. I mentioned it many times before, but I think it's so relevant in our lives. I don't know about you, but I do not like to have to tell somebody I'm sorry, or I made a mistake, or I'm ashamed. But through prayer and a supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. There's nothing worse, folks, than not being able to represent the kingdom of heaven. Say something we wish we had. Think something. Do an action, okay? Self-control. Self-control. For years and years and years, I just thought I didn't have to have self-control. It wasn't that important of a part. I justified sin and sinful actions in my life because I didn't practice self-control. My expectations and my hope weren't that I should not be ashamed. I didn't like being ashamed. I didn't like having to say I'm sorry. I don't like making mistakes. I don't like hurting people's feelings. And that's why it's so neat and precious to follow Jesus. That Jesus will be magnified in our lives. If, with all boldness as always, as Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether in life or death. No matter what comes my way, I'm going to follow Jesus. Paul goes on to say, "For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain." How many of us woke up this morning feeling alive in Christ? Or wish we'd rather be dead and gain our heavenly kingdom, our heavenly home? What happens if, just like Paul is perplexed between two, he's hard-pressed. Sometimes we're hard-pressed and we just want to give up. I'd rather be with Jesus. The unique thing about it, in my perspective, is I'm always with Jesus, whether in the flesh here or whether I go in the spirit, to eternity. That's the precious thing about being cleansed from His blood and being a child of the Most High God. We should expect each other to have hope and not to be ashamed. We should expect that Christ is magnified in our words and our actions. We should expect to be hard-pressed in our lives. It's not heaven on earth. It's not heaven on earth. I want heaven on earth just as much as you guys do. Not going to happen. And as I read this passage this morning, I'm continuing on in the highlighted thoughts of this passage. Progress. I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. That your rejoicing may be for me, may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. What about progress and joy of faith? Whenever I think about progress, obviously I'm in construction. So I'm thinking about people spending money building buildings, building roads, putting in infrastructure, so having facilities. Some people think of progress as only those types of things. What about progress of education? Our culture here, especially in the United States and some other countries too, progress is having more citizens educated. Those typically are, you know, sometimes when you say progressive, that turns into a political perspective. So when we think of progress, do we ever think of progress in joy of faith? They're joined together here in the passage by Paul. Continue with you for your progress and joy of faith. How many of us say, I'm going to go someplace else? I don't like what he said today. Oh, that person offended me. That person set my pew. Folks, there's people that have left the congregation because somebody set their pew. Well, that ain't happened here, okay? But for our expectations and hope to be in Christ, and to look at what Paul talks about in a progress of joy and faith, how can I love you and care about your progress of your joy and your faith and let something as petty as where you said or where I said interrupt our walk in Christ? A lot of the letters that Paul wrote to these churches were about petty things. And we take for granted that we rise above that. I'm 32 years old today. You think that's funny, but that's the truth. 32 years ago, I became a Christian. My Christian birthday. Some of you are younger than me in Christ. Some of you are older than me in Christ.
How does our expectations and hope help us that nothing is being ashamed? When's the last time you told somebody about your conversion to Christ? When's the last time you told somebody you're 32 years old or however old you are in Christ? If I asked you this morning how many of you know how old you are, would you know automatically? I have to think about this morning too. It's not hard for me because I became a Christian 2 years before I got married, so I can always use the marriage for, you know, plus two.
And vice versa.
And vice versa. Yeah, vice versa. Of course, I always, you know, once the day of an event has happened, it's always another year for me. So, you know, we've been married 31 years. To my wife, we're only 30. Because I don't say it. We're on the next year. But folks, how has our progress and our joy of faith been in our walk? Are we more abundant in Jesus Christ, in the things we do and we say, and how we study, and how we treat each other? Until in my life, I decided I want to be the best Christian at home with my family. Is what really helped me start examining myself sometimes. I can be a great example to you folks. It's easy. I can be good for an hour, 45 minutes, half hour. They see me every day. Well, Hannah doesn't anymore. When we were all there at the house before they grew up and moved away. We want our expectations and our hope to be examples to one another. To be examples to one another at home. Obviously, my lovely wife, yesterday we sat down and ate lunch, and Lucas was down for a little bit. And I said something, and Hannah says, "That's not something Jesus would say." And Lucas says, "Well, what about when he said this, this, and this?" Hannah said, "I wouldn't talk to you." But for us to gather around the table and talk about Jesus, and reason with each other. Helps us, folks, follow Jesus. Doing it with each other. Now we talk about football, and we talk about all kinds of other stuff at the table too. But to include Him in our lives, to include Him in our perspective. And you know what? For me, I could have said, "I'm your dad, don't you say that to me." But no, she's a sister in Christ. So I listened and took to heart what she said. I thought, that's a validity to do that. Until my son said, "Oh yeah, Jesus did this, this, and I got an out." But to be honest with you, there's an in-between. And for both of them, and for us to reason together, to recognize, folks, to be more abundant in Jesus. A progress of our joy of our faith. How happy are you that you're saved? How happy are you that you're a Christian above everything else? I don't care whether you're a Kentucky fan, Notre Dame fan, IU, Purdue. I'm going to include Michigan, the Big Blue, because they're number 4 in the nation right now. I'm a Christian first. We are Christians first. We are children of the Most High God. Above all things. How joyful are you that you can remember Jesus? Folks, there's a lot of people that have forgot about Jesus. They're not here with us this morning. They struggle. They struggle. Each and every time I gather this morning and gather on the first day of the Lord's week and I see all you folks here, I am joyful because of your faith. Thank you for that. That's why I love you. That's why I say that. It's elating for me. A couple times at work in the last couple months, I've asked people, because I get in the habit of doing that, I said, "Man, don't you love me?" And they look at me like, "Don't ask me that question, mister." But I ask you folks, "Do you love me?" And you say, "Yeah." So we tell each other that we love each other. It's the joy of our faith. It's progressing. It's being more abundant in Jesus. Incorporating Him into our lives.
Paul writes in Philippians 1, beginning verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Paul begins this saying to all the saints in Christ who are at Philippi, and to the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about, and I've got to highlight here, the fellowship of the gospel, folks. That's very, very important. And I say that because there's all kinds of times people use the word fellowship in our culture. We even do it. And the disciples and Jesus left the gospel for us, the whole gospel, not just a little bit of it. We gather together to study that gospel, the good news, the word of God, the will of God, his holy word. But to fellowship in the gospel, in the good news. There's other ways to fellowship, folks. I don't want to distract from that. But to focus and make sure our expectations and our hope are fellowshipping in the gospel, in the good news, in God's word. It's far more important, our fellowship that we have here gathered in this sanctuary, than it is gathering to fellowship with me. I'm just saying taking precedence, our expectations and hope. Do you wait for potluck every time? Do you look forward to it? I do. I enjoy that. I enjoy it. Hopefully I get to sit with different folks every time I don't get to spend time with them. We spend time with one another. Our culture, and we all drive here. Who walks here? Anybody walk here? Nobody walked. Everybody drove. Our schedules, our lives, we are not. It's tough to intertwine daily. Now, you can electronically. But let me ask you this. If I text everybody every day and I get your phone number, do you want to text from Preacher Don? Some do, some don't. Some have responsibilities that they can't read texts at work. Okay? That's all the more precious when we fellowship in the gospel together on Sunday morning. It's extremely precious for us to gather as the saints, the saved, brothers and sisters in Christ, proclaiming our faith, helping each other in our expectations and our hope that we don't do something that's shameful. To encourage each other. Encourage each other. There's times in my life when I've been tempted to sin, and a thought with one of you, or my wife, or my children, or something, has deterred me from doing that. We need each other. We need to gather around a table. Talk about remembrance in our lives. Fellowship in the gospel. Being confident that God is going to finish. God has a plan for us, each and every one of us.
I know Brother DC, thank you for letting me use you as an example at the Pearly Gates last week. I thought about that. That was kind of off the cuff, and I'm like, thankfully, you know, the sheep fits. It fits all of us. But God has a plan for each and every one of us in our lives. And to be confident that He's got something for us to do in the kingdom of heaven this week. Whether it's us helping ourselves with our expectations and our hope, or helping someone else with their expectations and their hope. There's no such thing, and that's a neat thing about Jesus. There's no such thing about somebody not being as good as somebody else in the kingdom of heaven. We're all saved. God's grace covers each and every one of us and makes us pure in His sight. Some of us need more, some of us need less. Good thing He didn't decide that everybody only gets so much grace. I'm only going to forgive you this many times. You go past that, you're in a heap of trouble. Not so with Christ. Not so with Christ. We are partakers with me of grace. All of you. There's times in my life that I got to remind myself the most important thing is being a Christian. Do I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior? Because Satan tempts me, folks, I don't know, he tempts all of us, but I want to do my own thing. And when I start doing my own thing, I forget to follow Jesus. I forget my expectations and my hope, and I do things that I'm ashamed of. And that's why this lesson in this passage of Scripture is so helpful for us, to remind us He still is not going to give up. I made a mistake yesterday, today's a new day. Each day is a new day in our lives. How many of us wake up in our lives and say, same old day, same old wife, same old husband, same kids, same job, same news, same old truck, same car? And I ask you this, would Jesus think that way? Absolutely not, in my understanding of Him. Thanks be to God. This day is a new day. I expect to bring glory and honor to Him. I expect my hope to be fulfilled. I expect to make good choices. I expect to say no to Satan. Why? That our love may abound still more and more in the knowledge and all discernment. That I may be able to approve the things, or we may be able to approve the things that are excellent. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. When we try to do fruits of righteousness on our own without Jesus, it's not the same. It's not the same. I can still give and love and forgive and do a lot of things. But if I do not want to be a child of God, if I don't want to do it to bring glory to the kingdom of heaven, I'm doing it for myself. To the glory and praise of God, Paul writes. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren of the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached,
And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Do we look at situations in our lives to be able to have be a furtherance of the gospel in our lives? Is our faith furtherance of the gospel help others to be confident, to speak bold in word without fear? I know this is Paul. This is, you know, the history of him speaking to the church at Philippi, but does that, do those same concepts, brothers and sisters in Christ, help us, remind us that the things we go through, where can I serve him in what I'm going through? How am I helping other people be in confidence? Am I doing it out of love? Am I happy that Jesus is preached? Am I happy that Jesus is preached? Will you rejoice? Have you rejoiced? Last passage this morning of the lesson. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. Jesus didn't come to remove conflicts in our lives. He came to seek and save that which is lost. And for us to recognize when we're going through conflicts in our lives, folks, that some way, somehow, God has a plan for me. God has a plan for us. And remembering this morning the passages we've looked at with our expectations and hope and following him, to remember fellowship in the gospel, being confident of good work in you. You all are partakers with me of grace. Your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment. Approve the things that are excellent. Be sincere and without offense. Be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. Are what we doing, the things we're thinking and saying for the furtherance of the gospel, having become confident? Are we much more bold to speak the word without fear and speak it out of love? Out of love. Are we happy that Christ is preached and rejoice and rejoice and rejoice? Yes. Paul says, and this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. How happy is it for you to hear and know somebody's hearing about Jesus? Our expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, folks. Relying on Jesus. I put these in chronological order according to what they are in the book of Philippians here in the first chapter. Christ will be magnified, to live is Christ and to die is gain. The progress and joy of faith. Your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries. And we are granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. There's not a better thing to do, folks, than to suffer for the sake of Jesus. There's many times in my life, and it's happened often in the last few weeks, that I've had to, as I mentioned last week, eat crow that wasn't crow on my behalf. Just hold my peace. Suffer for his sake, because I don't want to be somebody that's not like Jesus. I don't want to be vengeful. I don't want to be hateful. I don't want to be accusatory. I don't want to turn somebody away from learning about Jesus from me. by how I react to situations in my life. So we suffer for his sake. Not as Paul did, to the extreme sometimes. But we do. I pray this morning that your expectations and your hope will be aligned with God's holy word. If you have not committed your life to Jesus, we encourage you to do that this morning. If you need the prayers for any reason, strengthen your faith, or for physical issues going on in your life, we offer that invitation as we stand and sing. Selected hymn this morning.